Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week we read. I hesitated. As much as I hated to admit it, she had a point. Given all the destruction Reed had perpetrated during the last 7 hours, his forces were going to be on high alert. What were the chances I would escape detection? It was lucky they had not made Chris. Or perhaps they're just waiting to swoop in on her, I thought. If that happened, I wanted to make certain I was on hand to help her get away. I'll stay, I said, pulling the door shut. A wise decision, she said, with eyes that could have cut right through me. And now, episode 17. Chris pulled into the spot I had indicated. I pushed my seat back as far as it went, tilting it so I had a lower profile and taking advantage of the rear tinted windows. The casual passerby wouldn't notice anything. When Chris saw me staring at her, she muttered something under her breath while she rolled her eyes. My paranoia has served me well, I said as she adjusted her seat. No wonder none of your friends came with you from Blackbrook, she said. The comment might have stung at another time, but it did not faze me. I was doing what I needed to increase our chances of not getting noticed. She could complain all she wanted if she followed suit. I was not looking for friends. I wanted to find a way to stop evil men from kidnapping children. I could worry about having a personal life once I had taken care of that. We sat in silence for a long time. I stopped checking my watch as time seemed to slow. After what I was convinced had been an hour and a half, I checked my watch and found that less than 15 minutes had gone by. We still had over 3 hours before dawn. I shook my head, trying to keep awake. The position of my seat put my neck at a weird angle while I watched the main exit. You should get some sleep, I said, suggesting it because I wanted my monocular back. When Chris did not respond, I noticed that she had already nodded off. I took it from where it had fallen on her lap. It was good somebody could get some sleep. Perhaps it would put her in a better mood. The monocular revealed what I had already known with my naked eye. Nothing was happening at the exit. Knowing that it was a risk, but also knowing I needed to stay awake, I pulled out my phone and turned the brightness down so low it was hard to read. It at least gave me something to break up the monotony. I positioned my phone so that if any car left the garage, I would notice the movement. Doing so increased the risks that somebody might see the screen of my phone, but I did not care. The chance of that happening was small. Just as Chris had claimed, my video was published on every news site I checked. Most of the videos were posted along with a recent fake video. I plugged in my earbuds and watched my video. I had done a fair job of it. My breathing had been regular and I'd been careful to keep my face lit by the overhead streetlight. I watched the fake video again and shuddered at the details they had got right. It was uncanny. Almost as if they had recorded me right beforehand. Not only was my hair the exact right length and color, it even looked as though I wore the same clothes in both videos. I shook my head as if seeing myself in the mirror for the first time. No wonder why people were so skeptical when I said I was not behind the fake videos. As I scrolled through the stories, these facts were not lost on the commentators who pointed out these and other similarities. I'd thought at first it was a good thing they displayed both videos together, but now I realized most were going to believe they had both been done by me. I knew the truth and was even starting to wonder if I had a split personality problem. Chris was right. I had not done myself any favors by releasing a video. I refrained from punching the dashboard to avoid waking Chris. Because I was now awake, I put away my smartphone. Time slowed worse than a crawl. More than once I found myself turning the monocular in all directions, afraid somebody was closing in on me. With all the attention, it was just a matter of time before the bottom fell out from underneath and I was taken captive. Almost an hour later, just when I was starting to feel tired again, a vehicle came up the ramp of the garage. When I realized it was the Suburban I had seen earlier, I nudged Chris until she woke. "It's them," I said, staring at the tinted windows, wondering if Margaret and Benji were in there. When I noticed I was reaching for the pistol in my messenger bag, I stopped before pulling it out. Now was not the time for that. Once the Suburban disappeared, Chris started the car and followed, yawning as she did. "You were right," I said as we drove. "It was a mistake for me to make that video." She gave me a sympathetic look. "They have you down to the smallest detail. When you called earlier, I wondered if it was you on the other end or if it was the computer." "I hadn't thought of that," I said, seeing a new side to the terror she'd experienced earlier when I'd shown up unannounced. "We should establish a protocol so you can be certain it's me." She nodded. "I'll ask, what's your favorite color?" "My answer will be I don't have one," I said. "Good enough," she said. I decided we'd change the question every few days, but didn't mention it to her. I wanted her full attention on the black Suburban. The implication of Data Raider's technology stretched well beyond a couple of faked videos. If they had created something that had the capability of copying nuances down to characteristics that even Chris, Shannon, and myself found convincing, I was not the only person in trouble. It represented a whole host of other possible ways they could take advantage of the technology to deceive others. I thought of how Data Raider had used Spectrum to catch me, and I figured that was how they had compiled the voice on the fake videos. A chill ran through me when I thought of all the people whose everyday ordinary lives were being monitored by Spectrum. If Diagon recorded the conversations and Data Raider had access to the data, it was feasible for them to create an accurate voice representation for any one of their users. If Diagon were to acquire Data Raider and FaceRec, the possibilities could be endless. And people were just handing off the necessary data every time they used Spectrum and FaceRec. I opened my mouth to tell Chris my theory, but stopped from speaking. I still didn't know what Maxine's motives were in all of this. It wasn't wise to trust Chris any more than I needed. I held my breath until we turned the corner and spotted the Suburban several blocks ahead. I was afraid my paranoia had forced us back too far. If we had lost them, Chris would not let me hear the end of it. I relaxed and adjusted my seat to its normal position. Chris looked at me from the corner of her eye and did the same while keeping just one hand on the wheel. I was glad she had convinced me to stay in the vehicle. If I had done what I'd wanted, I would have been left behind because there would not have been an opportunity for her to pick me up. We followed the Suburban into the suburbs. I was wondering about our destination when we turned onto a street that had large, sprawling mansions on either side. "Did your people ever get back to you with the data they were looking up on Reed and his company?" I asked. Chris shook her head. "Keep in mind that while a lot has happened for you, it's only been a few hours for them." She shrugged. "Most of them went to bed. Besides, we have to be heading to Reed's home." "Possibly," I said. When the Suburban turned onto a lane of one of the mansions, Chris pulled to a stop 50 feet back from the gate. I had not commented on her driving skills, but I was sure we had been spotted. I had not said anything because it was my fault as much as hers. I was the one who knew how to follow a vehicle while reducing the risk of being spotted, and I had not thought to say anything until after I realized it was too late. My mind had been on other things. The more I had thought about it, the more concerned I became it had been too easy. I might have been able to buy us stumbling onto Reed's location once, but twice? In the same night? No, my paranoia had kicked in. We were headed into a trap. I opened my door. "What are you doing?" Chris asked, her voice a hiss. "I'm going in," I said. "Don't wait for me. Head to the office. Drive like you're being followed because I'm certain they know we're here." Without waiting for a response, I hopped out and slung my bag over my shoulder. A moment later, I jumped the gate. And now we will include the first chapter of Monkey House, a book that was released last week. 1. The bird cried out in alarm. I looked up from my lawnmower, right into the setting sun as it squawked once more before flying from its perch atop the shoulder-high lilac bush on the outer edge of my property. I furrowed my brow as I covered my eyes with an arm. The evening air was still. Was it a fox? Maybe a skunk. Maybe one of the feral cats I always found. My dog, Becker, lay in the nearby grass that I had not yet mowed. and he too raised his head in curiosity, carefully sniffing the air. The day had been hot, and despite the late hour, it was no less warm than it had been just a couple of hours previous. I released my hold on the mower, letting go of the handle so that it killed the engine. I kept an eye out for the source of the disturbance as I walked to where I had left a water bottle, sitting on the hood of my old Ford truck. Becker continued to test the breeze, and I noticed movement in the lilac bush as I put the bottle to my lips and took a swallow. The bush rustled again as I finished another swallow and wiped my mouth on the back of my hand. Becker was up on all fours by that time, a low menacing growl escaping from his throat. This was as excited as he usually got. "Quiet, Bex." I made a snapping sound with my fingers and he immediately shut up. After a moment of hesitation, I told him to stay, remembering a kitten I had found climbing up a tree on the backside of our property last week. Thinking that it might be a similar situation, I didn't want Becker on my heels, making things more difficult. I walked towards the bush, swinging my water bottle on my finger, using the loop of plastic between the lid and container to keep hold of it. It had been 5 years since Marjorie and I had retired and moved from the city. Not a day went by that I did not ask myself why we had not done it sooner. I had thought the office had needed me, that they couldn't do without me, but my retirement had been easier than I had ever imagined. I was 4 steps from the bush when the branches parted and the head of a furry creature came out from behind. Becker barked when he saw the animal, which was surprising. He almost never barked. "Hush," I said, snapping my fingers again. Becker sat back on his haunches, but he became more agitated, whining as he waited. I ignored the noise, taking it as a sign he was trying to be good. At first glance, I thought the animal was a bear cub. It was brown and about the right size, but the more I looked, I realized something was off. It wasn't uncommon to get wildlife wandering across our 3 acres, but it was usually a rabbit or a fox, sometimes a few deer. It was the first time I could recall seeing a bear, or for that matter, a bear cub. I automatically took a step back when it looked at me. Its face was distorted. The snout was too small, and appeared to have human skin through the blonde fur. Help. That was another excerpt from Monkey House. It is available on Amazon today. Go and search for Monkey House Dan Decker, or go to dandeckerbooks.com and link to it from there. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.